think it is a real joy, privilege, and an honor, a real blessing to be able to come another Monday afternoon and bring to you the good work of God. We appreciate His tender mercies, His compassion, and His love. I'll never get tired of speaking about how precious and good that the Lord is. On the other hand, how vile and wretched that I am. I'm talking about my flesh. There's nothing good about it, and anything good that we obtain or can do or know to do has to come from God Almighty. The Bible said all good gifts come from above. Of course, I'm thankful that the greatest gift that's been made known unto mankind or could be made known is the gift of God's Son, the Lord Jesus, who knew no sin, but yet He became sin for you and I, we might be made the righteousness of God in Him. And I'm glad I'm going to heaven, not because of me being good or doing good. I'm not good, and nothing good could I do to obtain salvation. It was paid for in full at Calvary. I'm going to heaven because God had mercy upon me, a wretched, vile sinner, blinded by the godless world, dead in trespass and sin. He quickened me and made me alive, transferred me, transformed me, and changed me, and gave me the free gift of eternal life. I know I'm going to spend forever in heaven because of His atoning blood. The Bible said outside the shedding of the blood, there's no remission, no forgiveness for sin. Now, if you're found guilty before God without a blood atonement, a sacrifice, a perfect sacrifice, and that being the Lord Jesus Christ, and you're going to be found guilty as a sinner, sin's going to be imputed, you're going to wind up tasting of a second death, and that'll be an eternal death. That'll be a place where the fire is unquenchable, where the fire will never go out, and where the worm will never die, and the smoke of the torment of a second death will be forever and ever, and there'll be no rest day nor night. Here's what's so horrible about that. That's going to be torment forever. But the bad thing is, and the pitiful thing is, you don't have to go there. Jesus died in your place. He has became in His propitiation, the atonement for our sin. He paid the price in full. He offered up Himself unto God Almighty, the Heavenly Father, and became a sweet-smelling savor, a sweet-smelling incense unto God Almighty through the blood of His cross. Thank God all the world can get to heaven. The Bible says God so loved the world, He gave His only begotten Son, and whosoever, that concludes me and you and everybody else, whosoever believeth in Him. And that's not tongue-in-cheek, that's not in mind and mouth. That, beloved, that's in the heart. Now, the heart here, according to the Bible, is not this old muscle that pumps our blood. That's the muscle that's just in this physical body. Talking about the heart or the center, the depth of mankind, that be his immortal soul, his eternal soul. You've got to believe on the inside. You've got to see the engrafted word with meekness, what the Lord is able to save your soul. You've got to experience the new birth. Now, the new birth, beloved, simply means to be born a second time. The first birth was an earthly man, and of course that's a fleshly birth, born of water, in the water bag of a woman, in the womb of a woman, and coming forth. Probably when the water breaks, and of course the human birth takes place, and that's a water birth. That's why it said to Nicodemus, you've got to be born of water and of the Spirit. He was answering Nicodemus' question when Nicodemus said, I'm an old man. How am I going to be born again a second time, get back into my mother's womb and be born? So he answered it. It's no Nicodemus. At the fleshly birth, you got to be born of water, all right, and of the Spirit. Marvel not at sin, you must be born again. That which is flesh is flesh. He said that which is spirit, marvel not that I said unto you, you must be born again. That's got nothing to do, beloved, with the water baptism. That's not essential to salvation. You do that because that you're all saved. That signifies bearing the old man and raising up the new. The only essential to baptism, to salvation, beloved, is the baptism of the Holy Ghost of God, God's Spirit. Of course, and that happens to you when you get saved. The Bible says, for by one Spirit, a spiritual baptism, are we all baptized into one body. That happens to you when you get your sin forgiven and you get born a second time. That's born of God's divine nature. Of course, that's the nature of love, and God is a Spirit. They that worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth. This Spirit has got to be born in your heart. You've got to be transformed and changed. You've got to have your sins forgiven and placed under the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Except the Bible said, your righteousness exceeds that of the Pharisee, you'll in no wise enter into the kingdom of God. It's going to shock a lot of folks at them, some of these denominations that feel like can think and persuade themselves because they're doing good and they're really on fire for this. And they got a wildfire, by the way. It's not a real fire. They're hardly some of high-minded. They think everybody don't know nothing. They know everything. They're just a bunch of foolish, religious, lost church members. Got their names on the church roll and get in these emotional places where they build and work themselves up in their flesh, and they don't know the reality of God Almighty nor His blessed presence. They would, they'd be ignorant who Jesus was. If you had a 5-hour conversation with Him, they wouldn't even know who He was. They don't know Him, love it, in reality, only in tongue and cheek, mouth and mind. Love it, they're not saved. They've never experienced a new birth. They're saved in their in their minds and with their mouths, but their heart is far from God Almighty. They've had that personal experience of grace. They don't never have seen themselves as of yet. That they're a sinner. They can't help themselves. They're vile sinners. They're dead in trespass and sin, and they must repent of their sins. Repentance means to turn away from, be sorry of your sins, and ashamed yourself and of your sins, and ask God's mercy and forgiveness of your sin, and giving up all your ambitions, all your desires, beloved, all your wants, all your good do's, and all your good don'ts. You've got to come to Him just like you are, call on Him with a full heart and a contrite spirit. The psalmist said this poor man cried, and the Lord heard his cry and delivered him out of all his troubles. I'm glad that's what happened to me. Unworthy as I am, He saved me just like I was James. And by the way, I'm a Baptist preacher, but most Baptists need to get saved. I would to God that everybody that said they was a Baptist knew what they were talking about, that they were saved. They're not saved, but if they don't know Him, they just know about Him. They've never had that personal experience in grace. Most Baptists need their sins forgiven. God have mercy. I would to God they were all saved. I would to God you're saved and all your people were saved. I'm not against you. I'm for you. And I'm a preacher of the cross, a preacher of the gospel. Beloved, preacher, I'm going to do. I'm not interested nor worried about whether you like me or not. I'm not in a popularity contest. I'm in a race. I'm in a fight. I'm warring with the devil. The adversary, the enemy, is the devil himself. He's the prince of the power of the air. The devil himself, beloved, has dominion over this world so far as the flesh is concerned. He's a second-rated power. He's got dominion over the flesh. He's the god of your flesh, beloved. He's the prince of the power of the air. The Spirit, Bible said, that worketh in the children of the disobedient. The unsaved, He is their God. They don't realize that, but He is. He controls them. He manipulates them. He uses them such as He can, and beloved, and such as He will, as they give place to Him. They don't really realize the condition that they're in, and they'll never realize that they get on the sound of the good news of the glorious gospel of Christ, where the Word of God is preached to them in reality and in sincerity and set down from heaven. And I'm not talking about these mealy-mouthed multimillionaire so-called preachers. They're a bunch of vultures. They're a bunch of ungodly dogs. They're a bunch of pigs, if you please, or swine. That means, literally speaking, they're unclean, beloved. They're not saved. And whose God is their fair? They're glorying their own shame, beloved. They're rotten and stinking. They're men of reprobated minds, ever learning, but never able to come to the law of the truth. And the woods are full of them. They're multimillionaire preachers, and they got a lot of people fooled. But they're not got God fooled, beloved. The Bible said the Lord knoweth them that are His, that every man, He said, that names the name of Christ depart from iniquity. These are a bunch of fools, and the Bible warned us that they would be in the last days. He themselves teachers, having engineers, false teachers, beloved. When days of pretense and apostasy, these ungodly, filthy buzzards who have transformed themselves as a minister, beloved, of righteousness, they're not of anything in the world, but a minister of Satan. They're not of God, they're the wicked one, the devil, and they do the deeds of the devil. Most of their sermons are on, of course, the benefits and the blessings of giving. Yes, sir, that's exactly what they're after. There's one, his last name, Mr. Dollar. But that's what he's after. That's what he's all about. Not only him, but many of them. They're a bunch of vultures right out of hell. They're going to wind up going to hell. They better have all the fun they can now. They better do all they can now. Beloved, when they die, they're going to wind up burning in hell. It's going to be a special hot seat in hell. Beloved, the degrees in hell for all the ungodly in the field. And those abominable so-called preachers, they're ministers of Satan. They're not God preachers. They're vile and wretched and undone and no good and wicked. And the Bible said the Lord knoweth them that are His. He said, let every man that named the name of Christ depart from iniquity. And above it, I raised me and my little sweet little wife. We raised 7 children, got 16 grandbabies. I've been pastoring full time, beloved, for 20 something years. I've got lost maybe 28 years, I guess. It may be even 30 years. It's been over 30 years I've been pastoring. As I think about it, I've been saved for 38 and called to preach about 4 or 5 years after I saved. And beloved, I'm not a hireling, and I'm not for sale, and the church don't pay me to preach. I work for a living. I love working. I work every day. Enjoy every minute of it. I'm full time, beloved. And I preach. They've offered something to me, but I don't say I don't need it. I'm preaching because God saved me. God had mercy upon me. God hit me when I couldn't help myself, beloved. And I'm not by no means in any stretch of the imagination a hireling. I'm not much of anything, and there's nothing I can say to boast about myself. But I did. I'd be found guilty before God and a liar. There's nothing good about me whatsoever. But there is a good part living on the inside of me, and that's the Lord Jesus. He abides on the inside. Thank God. He transformed me. Changed me and gave me the free gift of eternal life. I've just never been able to get over it. I don't want to. It's so good. I've not endured it. Praise God, I've enjoyed it. 38 wonderful years, how precious, how good it is that the Lord would save a vile sinner such as myself. How wonderful, how miraculous that is. Beloved, Jesus died for sinners, Paul said, of whom I am chief. Beloved, I was wretched, still wretched, not on the inside. He lives on me. He lives on the inside of me now, beloved. And that's sanctified and clean. If it weren't clean, he wouldn't be able to dwell there. He cleansed me by his blood. He's been living in me for 38 wonderful years, over 38 wonderful years. And praise God, he'll be in with me, be with me and in me forever. But the outside of me, there's a constant warfare going on in my members, in my flesh, in my body, constantly. Beloved, I have to die to myself. I have to defeat the devil. I have to cast down those imaginations. They attack my mind. Everybody has thoughts they don't want. That's part of being human. Everybody has temptation. That's part of being human. And Jesus got into a human body, and the Bible said we're tempted at all points as we are, yet without sin. He's the only one that ever has been, ever could be, ever will be sinless. That's why he's the Savior. Bless his holy name. Praise God. I don't know a whole lot about too many things, but one thing I know for sure, Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine. I'm an heir of salvation. I'm purchased of God. I'm born of his Spirit. I've been washed in his blood. Thank God for this blood-bought salvation. Cost me nothing. Cost him everything. He's precious. He's pure. He's righteous. And he's holy and he's just and he's good and he's altogether lovely. I'm glad God didn't reward me, beloved, according to my iniquities, but I'm glad God had mercy upon me, a vile sinner. Had he gave me what I had coming, I'd be burning in hell. I'd be burning in torment. But somebody loved me enough. My mother, probably other than my mother did, prayed me, praise God, prayed me in, labored over me and my brothers and the family. Her prayers reached heaven, and if they come up from the bowl before God, God broke my heart. God let me get crushed and broken, beloved. He didn't make me, but I came because I wanted help. I wanted forgiveness of my sins. I wanted Jesus as my personal Savior. I called on him with a broken heart and a contrite spirit. That's all that he wants out of you. The Bible said God's sacrifice for sin, beloved, has been paid. But all he wants out of you is a sinner. The Bible said the sacrifice of God, a broken heart and a contrite spirit. That's a sacrifice. The Bible says God will not despise. You better not try to bring your works. If you do, you're going to be found guilty before God like Cain. He brought the fruit of the ground. Abel brought a lamb with the blood shed as an offering. Of course, that was signifying he believed what God had to say. That God would provide a sacrifice and the blood would be shed for sin. And God accepted the sacrifice, but Cain was rejected and became a vagabond and cast out because he was, beloved, in sin and did not repent of his sins. And, of course, he was a vagabond. Now, see, my time just about going. I want you to write to us now and pray for us. And God bless you as I pray in his name. Amen.